This is an encore presentation of Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte 1270 AM and the Carolina Catholic Media Network of live coverage from the 2023 Charlotte March for Life.
This is Carolina Catholic Media Showcase.
Good afternoon, Carolina Catholic family. This is Elizabeth Harris. I serve as Senior Regional Programs Manager for Sidewalk Advocates for Life, and I'm live right now in Uptown Charlotte, North Carolina. We are so excited to welcome in all those that are marching from the Pastoral Center for the Catholic Diocese of Charlotte. All the anticipation is growing here as we wait. And I'm just so excited at all the speakers we have lined up for you today. Let me just give you a little bit of background about myself. I live in Western North Carolina. I'm over in the Asheville area. And I serve with Sidewalk Advocates for Life. And we are the nation's largest sidewalk outreach organization. Our mission is to train, equip, and support communities across the United States and the world in sidewalk advocacy to be the hands and feet of Christ, offering loving, life-affirming alternatives to all that are present at abortion and abortion referral facilities, thereby eliminating the demand and ending abortion. Since 2014, we have, by the grace of God, grown to over 200 locations across the nation and worldwide, and we have seen 18,000-plus babies be saved and mothers be served, over 4,000 hopeful saved, 85 abortion workers who have left the industry due to conversion, and 30 facility closures, including one recently here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So praise God. I'm just so grateful to be here today, and I'm about ready to welcome up our first guest, Mike Fitzgerald, who you may know that name if you're here in the Charlotte Diocese. Mike is the founder of C-Plan. He's the founder of C-Plan, which stands for Charlotte Pro-Life Action Network. And Mike also founded the Carolina Family Coalition. So C-Plan is kind of an arm of the Carolina Family Coalition.
Yes.
Mike is also probably going to speak a little bit today about the Catholic health professionals and maybe some of the things going on with that as well, just because it falls under some of they're all interconnected, right, Mike?
They are. They definitely are.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's so good to see Mike. I get to serve with Mike a little bit in Western North Carolina as part of C-Plan, and it's been such a blessing and a gift to kind of get the pro-life movement more organized and just help us to really promote events in the diocese. So, Mike, can you share a little bit about why you started C-Plan?
Well, I will, and thank you, Elizabeth and Carolina Catholic Media, for hosting today. And the Carolina Pro-Life Action Network, otherwise known as C-Plan, is a coalition of Catholic pro-life activists in Charlotte, Asheville, and Greensboro. And specifically, it's composed of parish Respect Life coordinators, Knights of Columbus Council pro-life directors, and other Catholic pro-life organization leaders and pro-life volunteers. And we founded it because it was really a lot of individual and independent pro-life Catholic pro-life activities occurring. And around 2015, we said, you know, a lot of the pro-life leaders came together and said we need to really form something that's a network to really tie in all the different groups and all the different activities that was going on. And so we founded C-Plan, that's our acronym, in 2015. And our first big event was hosting a rosary rally in August of that year in front of the Planned Parenthood. And that was the summer when a lot of the information was coming out about the selling of aborted baby tissues and baby parts.
Was that right around the time that it opened or right after that Planned Parenthood opened? Or
no, this is actually a precursor to it. They
okay.
had a referral office on Albemarle Road, and then by 2018, they moved into their 2018-2019, they moved into their current facility and started doing abortions. But we formed it to really unite and coordinate a lot of the pro-life activity in the Charlotte area. And by 2018, we expanded up to the Triad, Greensboro, Winston-Salem area. And then by the end of the year, we also started an apostolate, or Asheville chapter, which
thank you.
Is
yes.
where we connect.
Yeah, we really need you there.
As well.
Yeah.
And we host, some of our activities is we host a monthly meeting of pro-life volunteers here in Charlotte, sort of get everyone together and discuss issues and see where we can coordinate and help each other out. And then we have bi-monthly meetings every other month in Asheville area and then also in the Triad area. And this past Monday, we just held our Triad area meeting. We held it at Holy Family Parish in Clemens.
Mm-hmm.
And so our next meeting will be in February at St. Barnabas Parish in Arden.
Yes.
On that.
What other events are you really highlighting and promoting right now through C-Plan?
Well, we historically, we've hosted pro-life speakers and Respect Life Masses and prayer vigils at the abortion facilities, and we are there to support a lot of the Parish Respect Life Councils, Respect Life Committees, and we also host a monthly, one of our big things that we do is we host a monthly Vigil of the Two Hearts, which is at the Cathedral of St. Patrick each
mm-hmm.
month, and that's first Friday. And that starts with 8 p.m. Mass, followed by a Holy Hour Reparation and All-Night Adoration until 8 a.m. And the goal of the Vigil of the Two Hearts is twofold. It's to first offer prayers for reparation of abortion and pray for strength of families under these difficult times and
right.
also pray for our nation's conversion back to God.
Yes.
We also have a second goal with that, and that is to allow people to make their first Friday devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and also the first Saturday devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so we have it first Friday into first Saturday, and then that's where the name came from, Vigil of the Two Hearts. So people can stay for 8 a.m. Mass, 8 p.m. Mass Friday night, and then stay for all-night adoration, and then they're welcome to either stay the whole night or come back Saturday morning for the 8 a.m. Mass
mm-hmm.
at the Cathedral.
Yeah, and what kind of things are going on? I know there's an event coming up with the Catholic Health Professionals. Can you tell me a little bit more about that event?
Sure. Well, one of our sister groups is Catholic Health Professionals of Charlotte, and this was founded in 2019. To help support Catholic healthcare workers in the diocese, and particularly in the Charlotte area. And the group organizes different events, educational events, social events, networking events, spiritual events, to help support Catholic healthcare workers and to bring the Catholic faith back into the fields of science
yeah.
and medicine. And coming up on Thursday, January 26th, Catholic Health Professionals is going to be hosting a Catholic OBGYN panel discussion on women's health care, pregnancy, and basically looking at why abortion is never good health care for women.
Right.
And to sort of counter the narrative that's out there in the secular world that this is somehow helpful or needed for women. So we're going to have three Catholic female OBGYNs.
Local. I mean from the area.
From the diocese,
mm-hmm.
from the local area here,
mm-hmm.
That are going to be giving their experiences and helping to helping women with their health care needs and particularly mothers, expecting mothers.
So important, such an important topic, and people need to hear the truth. So that's wonderful that those physicians are going to come and be a part of that event. So I look forward to being a part of future C-Plan events. And tell me, Mike, how can others get on your website and find out more?
Sure. Well, Elizabeth, the best place where listeners can go is our website, which is prolifecharlotte.org. And there you can find out information about our different events, like the Vigil of the Two Hearts. And there's also a sign-up page where you can sign up for our email list and follow our different activities.
Perfect. Thank you, Mike. And I'm just going to close with this question. What are you most looking forward to in 2023 in this post-Roe America? And that could be just in general or just focused on North Carolina or the diocese. What are you looking for this year?
Well, I think twofold is that first off is that now that abortion has become more localized, I mean, it's always been local, but with Roe versus Wade being overturned, now everything comes back to both the state and the local city.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking for Catholics to take more involvement locally, get involved at their parishes, join their Parish Respect Life Committee, If they're not, if their parish doesn't have a Respect Life Committee, maybe consider joining one.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the legislature is, the state legislature is now has sort of a working supermajority, so we're prayerfully hopeful that they'll be able to pass some more restrictions on abortion, so that Charlotte, North Carolina, does not remain an abortion destination city
yes.
in the state.
Yes, amen. And right now, currently, there are two, Planned Parenthood and then Winches, is that correct, abortion facilities in Charlotte. There are two that are open currently because Hebron, the clinic on Hebron, closed. So I believe there are only two official abortion facilities. What's the third?
I think there's a third. There's Planned Parenthood, there's Latrobe, and then there's...
Thank you. I was forgetting. How could I forget Latrobe? Wow, yes, Latrobe, which has a very big sidewalk presence of different groups out there in Latrobe very consistently. I know our sidewalk advocate team goes out to the Planned Parenthood and serves there faithfully. So thank you so much, Mike, for all that you do. I'm sure I'll see you soon. And enjoy the march. I'm sure that the folks will start arriving very soon, and we'll have an awesome array of speakers. So thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
All right. So we are still waiting here in beautiful uptown. It's a little chilly here underneath these big, tall skyscrapers, but the sun is peeking through, so God's goodness is shining down on us. We are so, so excited and just thrilled to be here. And next up, I have Melissa Scanlon from St. Matthew's Parish, and she is going to share about the beautiful USCCB initiative, Walking with Moms in Need, and what St. Matthew's Parish has done to serve women and families in Charlotte and in the area. Melissa, I know you and I have talked at length about what you guys are doing, and I'm just so excited to see what the fruit of what is happening there and how many women are being served in a loving, compassionate way of offering material assistance. And really, I would love to hear from your perspective a summary of what you're doing at St. Matthew's Parish.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth. I'm so excited to be here and talk about the wonderful Walking with Moms in Need program. At St. Matthew, we started this back in 2020 during a pandemic, and we just realized that we really needed to step up in the culture of life, and we really needed to, you know, be that culture of life in our community.
Right.
And we started very small. We started just going through our community and kind of understanding what's available to moms in need so that when a mom comes to our church, we have resources that we can introduce them to, and just spending time with moms one-on-one,
yeah,
one at a time, and just seeing really what it's like to be in their shoes.
Right.
And what do they really need? And how can we support them? And how can we make life a little easier for them, right? So we spent about a year really in that discernment process. And over that time, walking with moms who came to our parish, both through the sidewalk advocates and just, you know, people who just came to our church office,
right,
we really started to discern that we could support them in a material needs kind of way. We're a big parish. We have a lot of people, a lot of families, and people who wanted to be able to support moms in need with their, you know, goods that they had from their children.
Sure.
So we thought, what a great way for us to connect the moms in our parish with the moms who need that support. So we started this program just a few months ago, where now we invite women in the community to come to our parish, and they can get free diapers for every child they have that's in diapers, and they can get the material goods they need for their children, clothing, you know, cribs, strollers, whatever we have.
So that's one day a month at a certain time?
That's right.
That's
on
a consistent
Sunday
basis?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The first Sunday of every month, we have it going from 2 to 4 p.m. You can come to our parish, and we ask no questions of you.
Right.
We take a woman at her word. If a woman comes to us and says, I need help with diapers for my child, we want to honor that, and we want to honor the dignity of that woman.
Yeah.
We don't want to make one more thing that they have to find 10 referrals for, fill out 15 forms for, stand in line for 2 hours. We wanted to make it really easy for women to get the help that they needed in a tangible way and to feel cared about and loved by the church.
Yeah.
So when they come to our church, they feel that love of God in our parish, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want them to feel that love of God as much as we want to help them with the material goods.
Right. And so basically there's no form or information you're collecting. They just show up.
That's right.
And you build relationship with them over time, right?
That's right. So the beautiful thing is we have been able to build a relationship with a lot of these women and become friends with them and establish a connection with them. And I think everyone, no matter what your needs are, needs that connection right
yes.
now. And I think there's nothing better than when moms come together to support each other, right? So most of our ministry volunteers are moms. And so we can be there to connect with them, to talk about, you know, the mom problem. You know, what do you do when the baby won't
right.
stop crying, right?
Right.
What works for you? What works for
yes.
you know, this mom over here? And really trying to, like, have that community for them. A lot of us are disconnected now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't think it's just moms who are, quote, unquote, in need. I think it's really everyone.
Totally.
And so trying to bring those connections back. You know, we've lost so much of that in the last few years. And
yeah,
really trying to reestablish those connections. It's been really important. And so that we can offer that loving support in a tangible way and also, of course, help with the material needs along the way as well.
Right. So I was just going to say, I know women love to bond with other women. It's in us. It's innate in us.
Absolutely.
We're made that way to really commune with one another. And I know that so many women nowadays do not have community. They do not have support systems.
Absolutely.
And so I know that one of the things that you talked about when you and I spoke on the phone was how sometimes they just need someone to talk to, right?
Absolutely right. I mean, I have one mom who I have never met in person, but we've talked on the phone, we text message, and just she just has questions sometimes, right? Just like we all do. She doesn't have a lot of support around to offer advice. So things like, I'm going to the doctor and they're saying this. Is this normal? You know, would you think I should go see another doctor? That type of thing.
Sure.
That, like you would ask your support community, but when that
right.
support community is missing, who do you ask those questions
That's
to,
right.
right? So I think we've had a really beautiful relationship, even just at a distance. So even the ones who can't make it to our parish,
yeah.
even if they're on the other side of town and maybe that's not going to work for them, we can still establish that community.
Right.
And
a network, really.
That's right. And
yeah.
still support each other in our journey of motherhood, right?
Definitely. And I would imagine it's never to take the place of pregnancy care centers. It's to fill a gap and a need
Absolutely.
In the community of
yes.
these women that are so busy. There are so many barriers, whether
yes.
that's time or I have multiple children and I can't or I don't have a vehicle, right?
Yes.
Or I'm worried about paying my rent this month and I can't
yes.
even get somewhere because
right.
I'm so stressed out because my bills aren't paid, right?
Absolutely.
So you guys are there to just be like, hey, we love you. Come on in.
Right.
Let us welcome you in.
Right.
Like Jesus would. And
right.
just let us just show you some love.
Absolutely. And we found, you know, we do have great resources in Charlotte, but they are so stretched. The need
yeah.
is so great right now that I think we've been too comfortable as a church to leave it to other people to address
sure.
this problem.
Yes.
And it's up to all of us, really, to build that culture of life, right?
Yes.
If we want a woman to lovingly accept that child that's been given to her for her as
right.
a community and not
yes.
just say, well, there's another pregnancy center who will deal with this problem, right?
Totally.
So we have partnered with our local pregnancy
right.
centers with all of their resources. I speak with Medicaid caseworkers who work with pregnant women. They refer women to us now. You know, there's a lot of community partners that we've found that we can all work together to better support them. So we all have our things that we are able to do for them, and that way they are getting support
right.
from multiple angles, right?
Right, exactly. I love what you guys are doing, Melissa, and I hope that it inspires other parishes. I know that's one of the things you've been helping with, is talking to other Catholic parishes in the diocese about getting something started.
Yes.
Because each parish needs to be able to direct families and women facing unexpected pregnancies to help, right? And that
Absolutely.
Is one of the critical points of Walking with Moms in Need, is to have a resource list, like knowing where people should go for help, right?
Yes.
And so I love that. I think information is power, and we need
Absolutely.
To know where to send someone, and we need to be prepared for that conversation and be proactive.
Absolutely
so,
right.
Yeah.
And I think, too, you know, even if you're a small parish and you're like, we don't really have a lot of resources, we can't give out donated goods, or we can't give out diapers, which is just not something that we can do in our parish.
Right.
Everyone can offer the friendship, right?
And, yeah.
I think that that's free, and that is something that all of us are capable of.
Right.
And a lot of times, just being that person who says, I will pick up the phone to you.
Yep.
So many women
I will
tell
answer
me that,
my phone.
Yes.
I will answer my
yes.
phone to take your call, right?
So many women tell me that no one will call them back. No one will answer their calls when they ask for help. People just ignore them.
Right.
So I think, you know, there's always the opportunity to at least come in friendship and walk alongside these women. And we might not be able to solve every problem they have, but we can certainly be their friend and accompany them on their journey.
Yes, definitely. I'm so happy you stopped by to talk to us today, Melissa. I pray that God will continue to bless what you're doing. And let's look around us, because as we've been talking, the crowd has filled in all around us.
We have.
We are looking at a lot of people here. We have our clergy here.
We do. I see two of my priests from St. Matthew over there. I'm very proud. Look at them.
Yeah, lots
right
of
up front.
Lots of beautiful young people and children. The treasure here on earth of the family is our children, right?
Absolutely.
So what a beautiful, beautiful thing to witness today. And I think we're kind of just getting ready for the speakers to start. And again, thank you so, so much for coming up to spend some time with us. Melissa, I hope you enjoy the rest of the march.
Thanks so much, Elizabeth.
Yeah. So I'm just so thrilled to be here. Abby Johnson is here today with two ex-abortion workers who have left the industry, praise the Lord, right here locally. And I'm getting just slightly emotional even talking about this, because it's very personal to me, because I know the folks that have been out on that sidewalk here in Charlotte that were at the abortion facility that the locals called Hebron. And it was on Hebron Street or Hebron Avenue, I'm not really sure, but it's referred to as Hebron. And it was a very dark, dark clinic. And I personally went out there a couple of times on the sidewalk to pray, to do sidewalk advocacy. And our sidewalk advocates were there for a couple of years or so before it closed down. And so today I just have the honor and the privilege of talking to Abby Johnson in just a minute here, and two of those ex-abortion workers that left the industry due to conversion. The Lord pulled them out. So right now they're kind of doing the welcome of the crowd, just to kind of fill you in on what's going on here. We definitely have some like counter protests going on. I don't like that word, but some other folks that are in support of abortion across the street. But we're just loving on them today. I saw them kind of setting up their stuff, and I just want to say that we love you too. If you're listening, we love you too, and we know that God has an abundant life that He wants to give you. So we hope for and pray for your conversion one day, that you will see the truth and that you will know God's love, the child of God. So right now we are just all huddled up and getting excited for the speakers. I know Father Aaron Huber will be speaking from St. Mark's Parish. Father Peter Asik is here from the Office of Family Life for the Charlotte Diocese. I see some Asheville Sidewalk Advocates. My awesome co-leader Lee Atkinson is here. We've got some other fellow Sidewalk Advocates, and we're just getting ready right now to talk to Abby. And I am thrilled to be able to talk to Abby. Abby is really a wonderful part of Sidewalk Advocates for Life. We have a conference every year in Dallas, and she is always a part of that conference. And we love Abby Johnson. We love the ministries that she's a part of. And we love the work that she does with And Then There Were None and Pro-Love Ministries. Abby is an inspiration of bold courage and what the power of God can do in someone's life. You know, I'm just so honored to be here with you, Abby. This is my area, and it's so cool to see you here again. I know you're a friend of Charlotte. You've been here multiple times. I know that you spoke at Mira for the gala, and Debbie Capen will be here in a little bit to talk about Miravia. Mm-hmm. So welcome back to the Queen City.
Thank you.
We love having you here. You look great.
Thank you. Love the hot pink. Thank you.
Yeah. So I want to talk, Abby, about just being here with these workers that have left one of the abortion facilities here pretty recently.
Yeah.
Just what does it feel like for you? I know And Then There Were None is such a close ministry to your heart. And what is it like for you to bring these women here and stand here with them today?
You know, it's like standing here with miracles. I mean, that's what it feels like to me. I try not to get emotional
sure.
when I stand here with them, because you know, people ask me sometimes, what, you know, what is it like to be on the phone with someone as they're walking out of the abortion clinic for the last time? And I tell people it's like witnessing a miracle.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think, you know, in the pro-life movement, we do feel defeated at times.
Yes.
And we think, is this making a difference? Are we making a difference? And I look at the faces of these former abortion workers who have left, and I can definitively say, yes, it is making a difference. Not only are we saving the lives of babies, and that's important, but I can tell you that we are helping to save eternal lives.
Right. Eternal souls.
And that is priceless work. And you know, that's of eternal value. And that is so, I mean, that is something that is truly miraculous. And we're doing that.
Yeah, yes, definitely. We're so excited to have them speak today, to share their testimony, to share what God was doing from the inside of the clinic, right, that no one knew about.
Right,
yeah. So I want to talk about your most recent book that you co-authored, Fierce Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about the book?
Yeah, so I wanted to write something. I mean, people were asking me, you know, like, we need a follow-up to Unplanned. And I thought, well, okay, but I really wanted to write something that was a little more personal. You know, the two books I'd written before, Unplanned and then The Walls Are Talking, were very much, you know, abortion-centric, right? So it's very much about the abortion industry
and
what happens inside of those clinics. And I thought, you know what? I really want to talk about something that is more personal, about, you know, my life and what happens, you know, as a mom of eight. And,
sure.
You know, because my life has so changed.
Right.
Oh,
my gosh.
When I wrote Unplanned, I was only 8 months out of the abortion clinic. And I thought, okay, so much has happened in my life. When I left, you know, when I wrote Unplanned, I was a mom of one. Now I'm mom of eight, right? And we've gone through an adoption, you know, and I've started this ministry. And so I was like, okay, I want this book to be about motherhood, marriage, and ministry. That's what I want the core components of this book to be about. And so that is what it's about. And, you know, how do we love people who the world says are unlovable?
Right.
And how do we show, you know, how do we show mercy to people? And I think, you know, a lot of people, and I wanted to talk about just what God had done in my life. And I think, you know, a lot of people think about, you know, the Lord called you, and he called you in this, like, you know, small, still voice. And let me tell you something, that was not the way that God called out to me, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't speak to me like that either. And I get kind of upset. I'm like, why? Why do I have to figure this out?
God calls to me with, like, a 2x4 over the head, okay? So, but I was like, that's not the way that God works in my life. And it's okay if he doesn't work in your life that way either. Like, God does not come to me, like, tapping on my shoulder, like, hey, Abby, let me just creep into your life and slowly do something. No. He comes to me like a lion, right? Like, he is jealous of my soul, right?
Ooh.
And he comes to me like a fierce, roaring lion, saying, I'm taking you back.
Wow.
I'm taking you back from this evil. And that's what he wants for all of us.
Yes, he does.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I talk about that in the book. And really just encouraging people, like, you've got to give everything back to the Lord. This is what he wants of you.
Right.
You know? And so I think people, it's for everybody. You know? It's not just for pro-lifers. It's really for all Christians. I think everybody will find something that they really click with, you know, in the book.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I think that they'll like it.
Yeah. So a big part of And Then There Were None is healing, the healing that is available, right? Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think some people don't realize, like, how much healing is necessary for these workers after they've come out of the business.
Yeah. So, almost every person that comes out of the industry and has come to And Then There Were None experiences some diagnosable form of PTSD.
Yep.
And, you know, some are very acute. And we've had some of our clients who have actually had to be, you know, hospitalized for it. So that's not normal, right? I mean,
right.
You don't leave a dermatology office and have to be you know, put in an inpatient facility because you've, you know, popped too many pimples or whatever, right?
Right.
It just doesn't happen. You don't leave, you know, McDonald's and have PTSD from what you've seen there. It just shows the depravity. It shows the barbarity, the gruesome nature of abortion. And so we have licensed counselors that work with And Then There Were None, that are on staff in And Then There Were None. And then we facilitate, I'm a licensed counselor, and then other licensed counselors, we facilitate healing retreats.
Right.
And it's a phased approach to healing. And so they come to a retreat center in Texas over the course of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have an annual retreat where anyone who has been through all of the stages of healing through our program, they come back together.
Nice.
And we check in on them once a year. And it's really a time of fellowship and healing and just joy and just a check-in, right?
Sisterhood.
Yeah, I mean, we say we're a tribe,
right.
And we really are. Because we have all experienced a shared grief.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've all seen things that we shouldn't have seen and experienced things that we shouldn't have experienced. And, you know, it's similar to people who maybe have lost a child.
Yeah.
You know, they
tell me about that.
Have a shared grief, right, that I don't understand because I have not lost a child. In the way that they have. I've had a miscarriage,
right,
but I have not lost a child the way they have. And so, when you go through something like that, you just have a shared grief that other people can't understand. And that's how we are as former abortion workers.
Right.
And so we have that shared experience. And so being able to come together and share something openly and freely and not have people judge what you're saying, the things coming out of your mouth,
sure.
Not have people gasp.
Right.
It's
normal for them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I can't believe you did that.
Right.
I can't believe you participated in that. I can't believe you're saying that. It is something very special. But the healing is absolutely necessary. It is a core part of what we do. Because you can't, we have some women who come through our ministry who have been out of the industry maybe like 20-plus years.
Yeah.
But they've never shared their experience.
Yeah.
And so they go through our healing program, too, and it completely changes their life.
Right, and they have no idea probably the layers that needed to be pulled away, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and only Jesus can do that healing.
Yes.
So I know that you guys are doing a screening of the Sheila Stronger tonight. I am so excited to be there to come and see that. I know that it looks phenomenal. I watched the trailer. I was going to just talk about where that's going to be tonight and the time so that people can show up.
Yes.
There's going to be a screening of She Was Stronger at the Fine Arts Center at Charlotte High School. The doors open at 5:30. I believe the movie, the film, will start at 6:30 p.m. this evening. So please show up and support the film. And it's going to be life-changing. I mean, I know a lot about abortion, but I am so looking forward to this film because it takes you inside the lives of what these women have experienced.
It does. So it's a short documentary. It's only 35 minutes, so you're not committing your whole night.
Right.
It's only 35 minutes, and then we'll have a Q&A with me afterward if people want to stay for that. But it's really it goes into the lives of three of our clients.
Okay.
One who actually worked for the infamous Dr. Kermit Gosnell.
Yes.
Who's now serving life sentence for the murder.
Yep.
Of infants that were born alive at his facility. I think a lot of times the question I get asked the most from pro-lifers, the thing I hear the most from pro-lifers is, I just don't understand how anybody could work in the abortion industry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how anybody could do that. How could they do that? How could they even get into that?
Right.
Well, this answers that question.
Yes.
And what I would say, what I always say to that answer, to that question, to that statement is, it could have been you.
Yes.
It could have been any of us.
Right.
All of us are just one sin away.
That's right.
From walking in to those abortion clinic doors.
Yeah.
It could have been you. I would have never thought that would have been me either. Right. But it just was one sin that took me down a step of sin. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like a path of sinfulness that led me into that.
Deeper in. Yep.
And so this really shows that, but it also shows the goodness of God.
Yes.
And how he led them out of it. And it shows their humanity.
Mm-hmm.
It shows just their inward beauty.
Yeah.
And I think people will really get a good understanding of what it is that we do what it is the pro-life movement is about.
Yep.
And it shows that they're beautiful souls. And I think that they'll walk away really changed after they see it.
Yes, I'm so excited to see it, and I hope that people come tonight to get to have some quality time listening and Q&A with Abby Johnson, and to also meet the two workers as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be there as well. So thank you so much, Abby. We've got speakers lined up here, and we're just hanging out. It's a great day to be here in Uptown. So thank you.
Thank you.
So we are just kind of hanging out here and waiting for the next speaker here, the March for Life. It is chilly right now. The sun has gone away, so please pray for that sun to come out. We need to warm back up a little bit. Everyone is like bundled up and wearing their jackets and hats and gloves. We weren't sure if the sun was going to come back out or not. And so Father Aaron Huber is here and getting ready he's the main featured speaker today, and we are waiting for that to happen, and I believe it's Tina Witt maybe coming up on the stage right now. Let's see. All right. So the next guest is coming up in just a minute. Nicola here from And Then There Were None.
Yes, ma'am.
Nicola, tell me who you are, what you do, what brought you here today.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for having
me. so much.
So I am, my name is Nicola Morrison, and I work for Abby Johnson at And Then There Were None, and I've been with her ministry since 2014. I am actually the lead client manager with the ministry, and we have helped close to 650 abortion clinic workers from across the nation. So I have about 150 of them.
Whoa. And, 650 so far.
So I have a good number of what we lovingly call quitters. Because they brave their jobs in the abortion industry. And many of them are from the Charlotte area.
Yes, it's so crazy. I mean, that's like shameful, but awesome that God has worked hard to bring these women out of the abortion industry here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
And I
first met you actually when we did the Sidewalk Advocates for Life closure celebration video in front of the abortion facility where the two workers that are here today used to work.
Yes.
So God is good to reunite us here in Uptown Charlotte at the March for Life. And again, this is Elizabeth Harris from Sidewalk Advocates for Life. We had a Sidewalk Advocates for Life location there at the time, and those Sidewalk Advocates were out there faithfully praying and not seeing much fruit of what they were doing.
Yes.
You know, and then suddenly God did what he did. And so just tell me a little bit about like what it's like to be here today at the march. Why are you, what drew you to this point in your life, in your path where you're at right now?
Yeah. it was really a God thing. I remember saying a prayer one day, somebody close to me had an abortion, and it just really hurt me. And I remember thinking, like, Lord, why didn't this person come to me? Like, I would have helped this friend of mine. And I remember praying, like, Lord, use me in this movement. And my husband, he's a paramedic, and one of his bosses is a Knights of Columbus, and they were talking, and he invited us to go pray during 40 Days for Life at a local abortion clinic, and I loved it. And he gave me Abby Johnson's book to read, and I read it quickly, like, in 2 days. And
the
unplanned book.
Yeah.
And I remember praying, like, Lord, like, use me in this movement.
Wow.
And so, you know, I realized, like, wow, Abby lives close, like, and so she, not long after we became close friends, and she had asked me to start volunteering with her ministry. Mm-hmm. So my bachelor's degree in psychology, and I used to work on 911 ambulance.
Crisis management.
So I started volunteering, and I volunteered for years, and so thankfully we were able to raise enough, the ministry started bringing in more money, and we were getting bigger and bigger, and more clinic workers were quitting the abortion industry, and they were able to, you know, take me off the volunteer role and put me on a payroll.
Be on salary.
Yeah, and it's amazing because I thought I was just, you know, helping out for a short period of time, and now it's my career and I love it.
And
God has a sense of humor, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, and
yes.
It's beautiful being here in Charlotte because I remember talking to the Charlotte, you know, clinic workers one at a time, and it's so amazing that it's come to this where I can be here seeing everybody here who has faithfully been using their spiritual gifts and talents and whatever way they can, if it's financial, if it's standing out there in person and praying faithfully for years. But it's so amazing to talk to the clinic workers and hear, like, you know, the people praying outside didn't know what an impact they were making. And but their prayers were heard. And
yeah.
when men or women are praying outside the abortion clinic, the number of no-shows and cancellations definitely go up. And
up to 75%, according to some statistics from Planned Parenthood.
Yeah,
it's amazing. And so just to know that God is always working behind the scenes, even when we don't physically see what the proof.
Yeah.
That we have to remain faithful, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
trust and hope.
Yes.
We cannot lose hope. And I'll tell you, one of my favorite shirts is an And Then There Were None shirt, the Hope Dealer, the Hope Dealer t-shirts.
Yes.
I love that shirt.
Yeah. Was it?
It might be Pro Love Ministries
on
the back,
it's
all together anyway.
Yeah. Was it Mother Teresa that said that, you know, we're not called to be successful, we're called to be obedient? Am I getting that
I've
right?
heard that quote before,
and,
yes.
And, you know, that's the encouragement I want for people to have who are praying on the sidewalk. Like, you're going out there in the name of Christ.
Yes.
And in a peaceful effort. And we're not called, you know, it's not necessary for us to just see, like, people walking out. But the prayers are making a difference. And over time, that consistency, it matters.
It does.
And they all mention the people on the sidewalk praying. And it's important to just be consistent. And one message I want to share for people praying outside on the sidewalk is they're watching you. They're watching everything you do. Cameras are on the people praying outside. And so, you know, to make it simple, like, you know, you're representing Christ on the sidewalk, and be peaceful about it. And if you do get the chance to talk to an abortion worker, you know, just build a rapport with them and start a relationship with them, and, you know, be kind to them. That's somebody's daughter
exactly
who works from the abortion clinic, and just be the representation of love, because what they're seeing inside the abortion clinic is demonic and it's destructive, and some of them will describe it as it being a cult-like environment. And they want out. It's just hard to get out. So
they're
told to not trust the people outside, on the other side of the fence.
Right. They're told don't talk to the protesters.
Yeah. And so just they want to, though. You know, they say they're not even allowed to look at them
because
they're on camera. So they want to hear something and saying like, you know, contact abortionworker.com.
Right.
Like, they can hear that.
Yeah.
So
that's right. That's right. And I know with Sidewalk Advocates for Life, we use the And Then There Were None signs that say, you know, no one grew up wanting to become an abortion worker.
Right.
You know, like, this is not something that they were striving for, right?
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I've really come to really, really love my clients and all the workers that have come through the abortion clinic, or through our ministry after putting the abortion clinic. And, They didn't want to work there. You know, a lot of them were lied to about the work they were going to do there. They would just say, oh, we just do pap smears or women's exams or whatever, and then they quickly learned that, you know, the root of the business is abortion. That's their money.
Sure, that's right.
And you know, they it's hard to leave. You know, it's not like quitting your job at the grocery store. You know, it's hard to leave. And you know, but you know, in Christ and
God can do all things, and that's why we're here today with Abby and with the two workers, Alicia and Vanessa. Are they about to speak? Probably. We could catch them later if that works out better.
Know when they,
sure.
When they are here.
Yeah.
They'll be here shortly.
Yeah, that sounds great. Just send them over.
Much.
Thank you so much, Nicola. All right. So Abby is speaking right now. Carolina Catholic family, please. Pray right now. Pray with us or here live. Abby's here. We just ask for the Holy Spirit to cover this time with Abby Johnson here in Uptown, Charlotte, North Carolina. She is a powerhouse, a bold voice for life, a bold advocate. Yeah, a bold advocate for life. And we are going to probably have a speaker come up. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get her set up and she can introduce herself. There we go. Join me here.
Sylvia.
How are you? I'm Elizabeth.
I'm happy to be here.
So nice to meet you. Yeah, please tell me a little bit about yourself, Sylvia, if you don't mind.
So I am from the Charlotte area.
Oh, wow.
I was a former abortion worker. I quit in 2019. So I just actually had my my quitter anniversary last Saturday.
You go, girl. Praise the Lord.
Yes, I'm really happy to be here, and I'm product of all these prayers and I'm just so grateful. Mm. It's beautiful to see everyone out here, and my heart is just really moved.
Ugh, I love you. I want to, like, give you a big hug. I'm like, can we hug with all these wires and stuff we got around?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I love y'all, and I am so grateful to meet you, to have the honor of just speaking to you and having... I admire you guys for your courage, for your boldness, for your willingness to come and stand for life and stand for truth, right?
Yes.
Because you've seen the abortion industry from the inside.
Yes.
And how long did you do it? How long were you working in the industry for?
I was there from 2016 all the way up until 2019,
okay.
So 3 years.
Okay. Yeah, and so you got connected to And Then There Were None.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine was like, you know, because I told her, I was like, I'm done. This is wrong. I have got to go.
Okay.
And she's just like, well, I got a program that you might want to, might be interested in getting involved with. And she introduced me to, And Then There Were None with Abby Johnson. And I got a worker. And at first I was like, I'm not going across the street to those protesters. I'm scared.
Yeah, right. Of course. Because that's what they tell you, to be afraid of us.
Yeah,
so don't talk to us. Yeah.
And I got connected with the counselor. She prayed with me.
Mm.
And I just turned my life over to the Lord. And,
okay. So
you know,
was that kind of one of the big turning points for you, is connecting with the Lord and then kind of going deeper?
I knew once I left that what we were doing was wrong. At first I didn't know that it was wrong. But,
sure, until you started to see more and more, right?
Yeah. And so I had to go.
Yeah, and it always blows my mind, because when I go out, I do sidewalk advocacy, right?
Okay.
I'm a sidewalk advocate in Asheville, North Carolina,
okay.
In front of the Planned Parenthood on a regular basis.
Okay.
And it's so awful, because it's comical but awful, that people will stop and say, are you the protesters? And I'm like, no, we are not the protesters. We are here because we want to help people.
Yeah.
We want to make sure they know there's help available, there's resources for women and families in need. And we're here to talk to the community, too. We want people to know about their pregnancy care centers. We want them to know where the help is.
Exactly.
We want them to know that we love the abortion workers, even more so for the abortion workers.
Yeah.
So we call out when they're coming in to work. Yeah. I'm going to let you go, girl.
Right.
You get up there. It's so nice to meet you. Enjoy.
You as well. Thank you
okay.
so much.
Okay. Take care. All right. She's being called, so she's got to move on. So we've got Alicia going up to the stage right now. Yeah, Alicia is sharing her testimony, and Alicia and I have something in common. We are both raising our grandchildren, and I just have such a heart for her because of that, because she's raising her grandchild, and so am I, and they're about the same age, so that we really relate in that way, and I just respect her so much. Her sacrificial love, her willingness to raise her grandbaby and shower her with love and affection. And I just want to say that the next speaker is going to be Hank Chardos, and Hank is going to be starting a Birthright Charlotte. So he is going to be talking to me next, and I'm excited to talk to Hank. Hank and his wife Sally were a part of Birthright in Columbia, South Carolina. I believe Hank was the executive director of Birthright in Columbia for 40 years.
41.
41.
That's one more.
Can you believe it?
Well, it's by the grace of God, being able to
allow individuals to either make a telephone call or to come into the office with office volunteers.
Yeah.
That's really what it's all about, to provide them with alternatives.
Yeah, you said you would answer the phone. Tell me how you answer the phone, Hank.
Hello, this is Bruce, right?
Right.
Can I help you?
Right, and to hear a loving, kind male voice on the other end. You mentioned something to me that some people don't have that fatherly love in their life, right, and they need it.
Yeah, I call them the absent parent. So often when I listen to who the individual is that comes, one of the questions I'm going to ask is, what about the birth father? Where is he? And so often the answer is, he's either missing in action, he's negative, and so as a result, the individual is facing that pregnancy by herself.
Right. Yeah.
To be pregnant is a traumatic experience, but now to be pregnant without a support system, whether it's the birth father or whether it's family, makes it very, very challenging. So that's why, hello, this is Birthright, may I help you? That's
yes.
our starting point.
Yes, and it's meant to be, you know, pregnancy is meant to be a blessing and a beautiful thing, but when you have a stressful situation and you're intimate with someone and they are not in the picture anymore and now you have to figure things out, there's a lot of fear involved, a lot of anxiety. And so Birthright Charlotte is hoping to help, right?
We will. So
tell me what the vision is for Birthright Charlotte.
Birthright Charlotte has been incorporated. We are starting in 2023 with an initiative to alert the community that Birthright exists,
mm-hmm.
so that in different ways we can respond to the different needs that the individual has, whether it's an office volunteer who comes in 3 hours a week to answer the phone, whether it's somebody who wants to make baby booties, whether it's somebody who wants to donate clothes, maybe somebody who wants to be on the prayer line. The needs are endless.
Yes.
And at the same time, that individual who's facing that unplanned pregnancy oftentimes doesn't think that there's any support or doesn't even know
right.
where to turn.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's been something we've been talking about today with Melissa Scanlon with Walking with Moms in Need. I mean, a lot of these women don't have anyone they can call because they don't have a support system, and that's not always the case. But there's a lot of people out there that do not have a support system, and I can relate to that. I had a family, a loving family, but I had disconnected myself from my family because of an abusive relationship. And I was pregnant throughout that relationship. I became pregnant and have my daughter, praise God. But what I'll say is I totally understand what it's like to feel like you don't have a support system. And so Birthright wants to be there to step in, to be a loving, compassionate voice, to help connect them to resources. But you guys are going to do material assistance. You also mentioned, hey, if someone doesn't have their GED, they didn't graduate from high school, you want to help them maybe even get their GED, you're going to help with things like that as well, right?
The needs are from A to Z. And so without an individual knowing about resources in the community, they don't even know which way to turn. And so that's why it's so important that the office volunteers are good listeners, to understand their feelings, their thoughts, to see what it is that we can assist them with. Because aside from the pregnancy test that we'll administer, which is free, we want to be able to say, what other needs do you have? Housing is generally at the top of the list in terms of individuals
yes.
who are needing
right.
shelter.
Right.
But aside from that, education. So often, about a third of our clients who come haven't graduated from high school. And so what opportunities do they have?
Yeah, and if they're college age, I would imagine you're going to point them towards Miravia because we have an outstanding program here right in the Charlotte area in Belmont, right?
That's
that
right.
is affiliated, well, it's on the property of Belmont Abbey College. And those Debbie Capen should be stopping by here at some point to talk about Miravia. But how beautiful to be able to have a lot of wonderful organizations in Charlotte that you can also network with and build a network for life here in Charlotte. Yeah.
And so that's why when the interview comes, I'm going to say to her, as other office volunteers, I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you contacted Birthright. And so now, as a result of being able to administer that free pregnancy test and determine other resources, we're going to help them yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So that there is an opportunity for them to know that this is not just things are going to work out or it's okay. If anything, the one thing that I'll say, as I've said to tens of thousands, I want to go through the pregnancy with you. What does that
yeah,
mean?
Yeah.
Well, it means starting point to be able to help with some of those resources, let them know that we're praying with
right.
them and helping
you're
them
walking
one step
with
at a time.
Yeah, you're there to help and meet their needs. And and fill some gaps, right? So tell me, we were talking a little bit about the Sprout app and just knowing the fetal development and what's going on inside that woman's body, right, as her baby develops in the womb. Tell me a little bit about that.
It's show and tell, because what happens, Elizabeth, is without an individual understanding really what the term pregnancy means, they don't really have a perspective. Birthright doesn't provide ultrasound. What we provide is something even more powerful. On a iPad, we're going to initially ask, what's the first day of your last menstrual cycle? We then put that into this app called Sprout, and what appears is the baby at that point in the pregnancy. They can hear the heartbeat. They see the baby move. And so we're going to say to them, what do you see?
Right.
What do you hear? That is something so often the individual can't stop looking at because they really did not know here's where they are in the pregnancy,
yeah,
as well as where are they in terms of the development of the baby. And so that's why that Sprout is app is incredibly powerful because it provides them with the understanding of what the term pregnancy means.
Sure, absolutely. To see their unborn child in their womb, to humanize that baby as a baby, right? With all the beautiful development and the intricacies of God's creation. It's a miracle of life. So, yeah, that's beautiful. And I'm so glad for you and Sally to be kind of embarking on this new endeavor. Not new for you, but new for you in Charlotte, right?
That's correct.
So you're very seasoned at this since you did it for 41 years. And we're so excited and thrilled, and I know you're fundraising a bit to kind of get things off the ground, to get an office space. So we'll prayers for that, you know, a blessing upon you and Sally as you continue to work towards your goal of opening up an office and really being able to start serving women with a phone number and answering that phone line and anything else you'd like to add.
Sure. February 1st is when our website's going to be released. birthrightofcharlotte.org.
Okay.
That website, birthrightofcharlotte.org, will then enable individuals to have a much better understanding of what Birthright is, what the needs are, and how they can help. Because
yes,
it's an opportunity, like the reporter who asked Mother Teresa, how can you help the millions and millions of dying and
yes,
sick people? And Mother Teresa's response is, I help them one at a time.
That's right.
And that's what we do at Birthright.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Birthright. May I help you?
That's right. I love it. I love it. Individualized support based on that woman's needs, that family's needs. And thank you so much, Hank. I'm praying for you guys. I hope to see you soon. Thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you for your prayers and this opportunity, Elizabeth. God bless you.
God bless you. All right. So we, Father Aaron Huber is up right now speaking to the marchers here. They are actually starting a beautiful rosary as we speak. We just ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us right now as we pray this rosary. We pray for the graces from heaven to be here with us from our Lord Jesus Christ. And the mysteries of the rosary are beautiful scriptural reflections, really. So let us just take this moment in. It's beautiful to see all the little children. We have some people down on their knees in prayer naturally, and it is only the faithful that would show up here. And it's now become a cold day because, again, it's windy and we've got the tall buildings around us. So we're kind of nestled into the center of uptown Charlotte, North Carolina, in Independence Square at Trade and Tryon. And this is, again, I'm just going to introduce myself again, but Elizabeth Harris from Sidewalk Advocates for Life. And I'm so excited to be here right now with my friend. I consider you my friend because I've met you and held your beautiful grandbaby.
Yes.
And I already mentioned earlier because I was anticipating talking with you that we both are raising our grandchildren.
Yes,
and
I
love that about you, that you just like took that sweet little baby and you are loving her like your own, you know? Yeah,
absolutely.
So I'm so glad to see you, and I couldn't hear what you were saying when you were up there, but I saw you up there. And tell me what you're feeling right now, Alicia.
I am feeling excited. I got over the nervous part and the butterflies.
Yeah.
And I just feel great.
Yes. Yeah. So this is Alicia Davis, who is you know, an ex-abortion worker, was working in the industry for how many years?
Actually, 4 years.
4 years, okay. So local, an abortion facility that closed down, and God was working on Alicia's heart quite a lot. And that is kind of, God was working on her and working on her, and she eventually came out and got connected to And Then There Were None, right, the abortion worker ministry. Yeah. So tell me, I mean, I know that folks that will listen to the march will get to hear your testimony probably a little, some more details, but, like, how are you feeling today compared to when you were in the industry? Like, what is your life like? Like, how do you feel inside about life now compared to what it used to look like?
Well, before, I didn't know anything about abortion. Like, I wasn't clear on what an abortion was. I didn't have a thought about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not until I actually started working there.
Okay.
And me being raised up, like a lot of my loved ones, you know, they have daycare. So I've been around babies all my life.
Yeah.
Daycare teacher. So then just like going through the process, first it was more like, this is weird. People go through with this. And I stayed because I love the people that I work with, my team. Everybody in the clinic, I felt as though we had a good team.
Right. So there was teamwork, and it felt like a little bit of a family, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I was with them more than I was with my family.
Right.
All day.
Right.
So I love that part. But then it's just like you go home from being in that type of work, and it's just like, feel a little dark because I was raised in a, you know, a Christian environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't even tell my mother or no one actually where I worked at.
Really?
And so one day my mom had to take me to work.
Did she know what it was?
Oh, she knew when she drove me there. And I was like, okay, Mom, before we get there, now listen, this is what I do. And she was like, what? Oh, my God. You're going to hell.
Did she say that?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, what?
Wow.
Yep, she said that. And I most definitely couldn't tell my grandmother. Like,
right.
I don't know what type of choice
words
she could have had for me.
Isn't that so funny? You're like, you couldn't tell the grandmother.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the matriarch of the family, I'm
right.
guessing. Yeah. Wow. And so you have a sisterhood, I'm sure now, with And Then There Were None. I know there is such a sisterhood among you.
Absolutely.
As you get to know one another, and Vanessa, I believe, is here with you today, correct? Is she here? I can't see, so I haven't noticed her yet.
I haven't either,
okay,
but
okay.
She's supposed to
okay,
be here.
Okay, no problem. I wasn't sure. But you have a sisterhood now with all the women that have come out of the abortion industry through And Then There Were None. I saw you at the Pro-Life Women's Conference in, was it Indianapolis, I believe. I was like, girl, hey. I was like, it's just so cool that you're from the area where I live, you know,
yes,
and I
had
get
a
to
great
see you.
Time.
We did. And I just, what I see in you is joy, the joy of the Lord that only comes from healing, right?
Yeah, it's still healing. Still.
Yes, we are all always healing, hopefully, right?
Oh, absolutely.
We all have woundedness and different things that we've been through, that we struggle with, and we need to be better about, right?
Yeah.
But I just see the joy of the Lord in you, and I'm so grateful to get to see you again. And I hope that you enjoy the rest of the march.
I
hope that's not too long before we run into each other again and kiss that sweet little baby girl for me, please.
Oh, sure will. And thank you for having me.
Thank you so, so much. Okay, everyone, thank you for joining us for Carolina Catholic Media Network, broadcasting live from the March for Life in Uptown Charlotte, North Carolina. We hope to see you soon.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Carolina Catholic Media Showcase. For more information about us and to support our nonprofit mission of broadcasting the message of Jesus Christ, visit CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and follow, friend, and like us on social media by searching for Carolina Catholic Radio.
This has been an encore presentation of the Carolina Catholic Media Network on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.